Blog Talk Radio.
Tactical nuke incoming!
Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Betting Window on the Nerdport Network. I am your host, Evan Ronnie, and with me as always...
It is I, the Zombie Master, and follow the fireflies, Bray. We'll miss you.
Yeah, and Christian will be joining us later, and hopefully Ryan will be joining us later.
What's on the docket first, sir?
Well, what's on the docket has a lot to do with a lot of nothing, actually. Like... Really, when it comes down to it, if my computer would actually, you know, start running things smoother, we could actually get shit up and running.
Well, it is what it is, unfortunately.
quick baseball news, really, if anything.
The DFA train has been running heavy the last couple of days.
Yeah, also, what's it called? Harper hit his 300th home run.
Good for him.
Let's see, what's the news articles? Yankees have called up Dominguez and Wells. Good. Wells needs to come up and be a catcher.
Austin Wells is called up?
Yeah.
And so is Jason Dominguez?
Yep.
Damn, that kid just was in AAA for like a minute.
What's the worst that can happen?
He gets the Brett Beatty treatment and flops.
And goes down immediately next year.
Yeah. It's not like the Yankees have anything to fight for this year.
No.
And I'm not saying that to be to knock him, but I'm sure once Christian comes on here, he'll back my words up with that.
I mean, you're not wrong.
And neither of them, Matt. Neither New York team is anywhere sniffing the playoffs this year. And it's ironic. At the beginning of the year, everybody was predicting both these teams to be heavily favored for the World Series.
I wouldn't say World Series. I would have said more that the fact that
both were playoff destiny.
Yeah, they were on paper. They should have been playoff teams on paper.
Yeah, well, that didn't work.
I mean, what else are you going to do? I mean, you really think about it. In the long run, you were looking at a team that should have been something. Because I mean, not just with the payroll, but with the power around it.
Well, let me ask you that, and I'll ask Christian this, too. Let me ask you this while we're on the subject of it. Since the Mets were in basic teardown mode and basically, let's just face it, they were big-time selling off, why do you think the Yankees didn't sell off?
Pride.
Think that's what it was? I mean, if you think about it, I mean, I don't know if it's reported Josh Donaldson was officially cut from the team.
Donaldson was on waivers. No,
they just flat out released him. No, they released him.
And, God damn it. Bader.
Which really surprised me because Bader was actually really starting to turn it up, but then he got hurt again. That's the problem with him is he became very injury prone. But I mean, it's like you could have shipped off Seve and Rizzo and Glass Carlo and Bader and Donaldson and all these guys. You could have shipped them all off like the Mets shipped all they did and restock your farm system.
Well, Giancarlo, no one was the only way you were getting rid of him is you were trading him.
Well, but you get my point. You know, it's like you could have just had a fire sale. I want that. That's something definitely want to ask of Christian when he gets there. You know, why didn't the Yankees? You say your answer is pride, but I want to get his take on it since he's the diehard Yankee fan out of all of us. So
I mean, it pretty much is pride because it's just the fact that it's the Yankees. The brand name is pretty much the reason they did it.
Eh, I get it. No, I get you. It'll be interesting to get his take on it.
Yeah. No.
Syndergaard was released by his like fourth or fifth team already. That's funny.
Yeah, the Mariners beat the Athletics again. What a shock!
Gee, my girlfriend's nephew's little league team could probably beat the A's. That's how pathetic the A's are.
There's really for baseball. There's not a full ton of news. Because, I mean, it's starting to get towards – we're starting to get into playoff push.
But now, you know what? I mean, it's interesting that a lot of teams that I would love to know who we predict – do you have the – who we predicted was going to be in the playoffs this year? Do you have that note handy or
no? I don't know. I got to go find it.
But it'd be interesting if once you find it, maybe next week we'll bring it up. How many of you guys nailed it right? And how many of you were, like, completely dead wrong?
I said that the Mets and Phillies would have been tied, so I know for the East I got it wrong.
I think everybody in that. But you know what? I'll say this. In the beginning of the year, I did not have the Mets going anywhere. And I was right. And I'm the diehard Mets fan here. I just said there's something. I think when Diaz went down, that's when the Mets season was sunk. And I think you guys all laughed at me, too.
I believe we all had the Dodgers.
Yeah, well, the Dodgers are a team that no matter what they do off-season or trade deadline, always manage to scrape themselves together and manage to make the playoffs. They're just a team that, I mean, you got a guy on that team. I mean, between Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, I mean, and Kershaw and all these other guys. Kershaw had a bounce back year, surprisingly, because nobody really predicted him to have much of anything. And the Dodgers fucking capitalized on a weak NL West that was weak. Everybody predicted. I think a lot of us predicted the Padres. Padres didn't do shit. Padres fell apart.
I think the Padres were the same reason, like the Mets. But I think I had the Dodgers going in. I think a lot of you guys took St. Louis. I took the Cubs.
Which I still think. I just have a feeling. I don't see the Cubs. If they do make the playoffs, I don't see them getting out of the first round.
They got the second wild card already.
For now.
They're not locked in, but I mean.
Yeah, for now. But
they're two up. They're two up, so.
I'm putting a lot of, I would put a few shekels on the Reds because I have a feeling the Reds are going to make a run at the end of this month.
They're six back from the lead and three back from the wild card.
I mean, the way the Reds have been playing,
one back from the wild card, but they have to leap Frisco and Arizona,
which is not an unreasonable thing to do. You know, the Reds have just been playing. I mean, their pitching's coming around. They got a lot of young rookies that are hungry that just seem to – that, you know, they're putting the pedal to the metal, and they ain't stopping.
No, the reason the Reds are doing good is because of their call-ups hitting at the right time.
Exactly.
Their pitching's not really coming around. They're plateauing. They could make a run. You're definitely right. But they're plateauing right now, and I don't think if they make the playoffs, they have to play the Twins, or not the Twins, the Brewers. I don't think they stand a chance against the Brewers because the Brewers were would take them out. And the Giants have been on a run, so.
But what I will say about the Reds, and you and I have discussed this off air, and I'll discuss it now too with you here. It's like the Reds are two or three moves away from really becoming a juggernaut of a team. Because if they can get some better, if some of their rookies pitchers come up at the right time and dominate, like I've heard rumors that they have some dynamite pitchers down in the minors. You bring up the right amount of a few veterans and a few minor leaguers. Don't forget, they got a huge haul back for Luis Castillo when they traded Castillo to Seattle. They got a king's ransom for him of minor leaguers, of top guys, you know, and stuff like that. It's going to be – the Reds are going to be a scary team, especially if this kid that you're high on – what's his name?
De La Cruz.
If De La Cruz continues on the pace he's doing next year and even gets better, you have another J-Rod or another Bobby Witt Jr. type guy on your hands, because the kid's destined to be a star. You know, it's like, I'm saying maybe not this year, but next year, put a few pennies on the Reds. You might not be disappointed with it, I'm saying.
I mean, I'm looking at this. Altuve hits for the cycle 2 days ago.
With or without a microphone?
Gosselin is undergoing Tommy John.
Who? Gosselin? Tony Gosselin?
Yeah, from L.A.
Oh, yeah, well, he's done. He's done for 2024.
Diaz pitches bullpen, still hopes to pitch this season. Stop it, Edwin.
Just shut it down. Shut it down. We don't want you. I don't need you getting hurt. Shut it down. Don't let your pride take off. You see, that's what that is. That's pride. I give him credit for having pride in his team, but don't rush yourself. Just saying.
Chapman from the Blue Jays on the IL. Yu Darvish on the IL.
Huh.
With elbow inflammation.
Now, let me ask you a question now. Now, this is a serious question. Do you think with all these elbow issues, do you think that's because of pitchers having to hurry up and they're not taking time like they used to have in between pitches?
No.
Do you think the ramp up is what the – could be hurting all these guys' elbows?
Nope. I think it's got everything to do with the fact that they can't grip the ball.
And by not gripping the ball, what? They got to throw it harder?
Yeah. To be able to get the cut that they want, they got to throw it harder. Why do you think you're seeing so many people trying to top out at 99 or 100?
But you know what? I agree with what you just said, but I still think, now this is my opinion, mind you, I still think the fact that some of the veterans haven't really adapted to the pitch clock yet, and they're overthrowing to get it there faster, which is hurting them. But the rookies that are coming off double, triple A that have dealt with the pitch clock before, they know how to adjust.
Yeah, the pitch clock has not... Not now. If you told me this was at the beginning of the year, I could see that. We're almost at the end of the season. They should have been able to adjust to it by now.
But also, you know what it is, too? And it's like, I'll say this, too. You got a lot of guys that are 34, 35, 36 years old. Their bodies start to wear down, i.e. DeGrom, i.e. Darvish, that are on the opposite side of 35. You know, they're going to start having, at the end of the year especially, fatigue has got to set in by them by now. You're going to start getting a lot of guys with dead arms. It is what it is, but there's nothing we can say or do about it now.
Like I said, at the right now, this is nothing to do with the pitch clock.
No, I would say, like I said, I think in my gut, I think it has something to do with the pitch clock. Maybe not everything to do with the pitch clock, but I still think that's involved somewhere. But We are all entitled to an opinion, but anyway, what's next? Anything else you want to talk baseball until Christian gets here?
Unfortunately, yeah, this just broke.
What broke?
DR, a Dominican Republican investigator, second complaint against Juan Franco. Wander Franco.
Get out the wood chipper. Just saying. You gonna tell me I'm wrong?
Oh no. Go Fargo.
Oh yeah, go Fargo, eh?
This is from Jeff Passan of ESPN. Special prosecutor investigating a second form of complaint against Wander Franco. Engaged in a relationship with a minor that lasted at least three occasions against the 22-year-old.
Anybody need some coasters? I'm sure there's some Wander Franco that could use for fireplace chips or drink coasters or.
They're gonna make good. Put a little lacquer on it. They'll make good press boards.
But you know what? That's something I want to bring. I'm glad you brought him up.
Well, first things first.
Okay,
hello, Christian.
Hello, friends.
Perfect timing,
on?
Christian. Perfect timing.
What's going on?
We're talking about the wood chipper in from Tampa Bay.
Oh, you talking about Dominican R. Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad you're here, Christian. That's like, I for giggles, I looked up on eBay the other day because I wanted to see the ghouls that were doing the Bray Wyatt stuff, and that didn't disappoint.
Yeah.
But I looked up, I said, let me look shit to the giggles for Wander Franco stuff. People are selling his shit at premium high prices. What? And if you're, A, you're, why are you selling it? Because you're trying to capitalize something that's just disgusting. And who's to say these people that are buying it?
Yeah, I mean, look, people will do whatever they can to make money. Unfortunately, we live in an America now where, you know, capitalism is at the top of the mountain, right? And that, you know, people sadly will spend money on stupid things. I mean, look, he wouldn't get a dime of my money right now, but people are just stupid nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, it's like why? I mean, I understand his. I remember when he was hot, his rookie card was going for $300-$400, and now that all the stories are breaking, I've seen some of those prices double. Now, I can understand if he passed away, prices were double because of supply and demand. I get that. Well, actually, no, I still don't get that because those people are ghouls. But anyway, if more reports, like Ronnie said, that just came out, a second person is coming out about him, why would eBay even let the shit go up there? That's what I want to know.
Right, right.
Why would eBay, I mean, that's technically, that's pedophilia, no?
Yeah, definitely. I get it. I get exactly.
The act that he's doing is pedophilia. The them selling it. I mean, at the same time, though, is why do they allow you to sell OJ stuff still?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Why do they let you still sell R. Kelly stuff? Like,
well, I ain't never really looked up R. Kelly, so I'll take your word on that one.
Nah.
Trust me.
All right, look.
I ain't trapped in that closet.
I was out there. When all that was happening with R. Kelly. And
I remember it happening, but I was never a fan of his.
Look, you know, I love...
And then he looked in the closet. I was stuck in the closet.
Yeah, you be respectful.
I believe that
video is still the greatest music video ever.
Yeah, but I believe he could fly.
Yes!
But can he... I believe he can fly. Isn't that him?
No, that's him. But I'm sorry. You have to watch the 8-part miniseries of Trapped in the Closet. Oh, my God. It is batshit crazy. And I pull out my gun.
Gee, what could he be ever speaking of?
Honestly, I was out there when all that happened here. I'll give you a couple of, like, major points that happened. Well, John, I don't know if you heard everything that happened with him. Did you?
Well, but let me put it this way. I've always respect all forms of music. I like some rap. There's some artists of rap that I like,
mm-hmm.
and there's some R&B I like. There's some country that I like.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some bands that I just never listen to. I never once did I listen to Miley Cyrus unless it was somebody making fun of Wrecking Ball.
I don't blame you.
I never really listened to the Backseat Boys or whatever the hell they were called.
Hey, that's a good wrestling tag team.
I know. Rest in peace, Trent Acid, I know. Trent Acid, Johnny Cashmere, I know. I never listened to the Old Men on the Block and all that stuff. And
I mean,
I wasn't into that. But, I mean, primarily my first love has always been heavy metal. It's always been.
Yeah, definitely.
Since I was a kid.
Well, this man, a video circulated that R. Kelly had sexual relations with a 14-year-old girl when he was a grown-ass man, and he pissed on her. And even before
I'm not even going to sing that. Oh, God damn it, Dave Chappelle.
Oh, God, I know what you're talking. You're talking about Chappelle's show, ain't you?
Yep.
And I'm going to piss on you. But before that,
I'm going to give you the golden buzzer on that one.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Yeah. Look, I'm about to do a DoorDash order from Golden Corral.
Hey, yo.
I love that we can make jokes again. I love this shit.
But before all of this happened, at 27 years old, he married a 15-year-old artist by the name of Aaliyah. So even back then.
Not the Aaliyah. Not the Aaliyah, right?
No. She died in 2001. She was in an R&B singer. She was in a.
She was in Queen of the Dam, right?
Yeah, she was.
Yes, she was. Yeah. R. Kelly was married to her when he was 27 years old and she was 15. So clearly, you know, the man's had a problem. I remember he did an interview in, I want to say 2011 or 2012, and the reporter asked him, are you attracted to underage girls? And you know what his answer was? When you say underage, how old are we talking? I'm like, oh, dear God.
Was he in the closet when he said this, or was he out of the closet?
Oh, he was out. God damn it. I'm not in no way, shape, or form am I defending what he's done, but this man has a problem. Plain and simple. Like, this man, that's a sickness, pedophilia. And
that it is. You're
people,
right.
A lot of people, unfortunately, aren't going to look at it like that. I'll tell you this, when in 2019, he turned himself in, right? He turned himself into the cops, and somebody in a town over from me, I was living in a town called Plainfield at that time, and there's a town maybe two towns over from Plainfield called Romeoville, and a woman from Romeoville bailed him out. And when he got out of jail, guess where the first place was he went?
Preschool?
No. The McDonald's play place to get a fucking happy.
You know, and it's just like, I mean, it's like, it's guys like this and then Wander Front. You know, I mean, these guys are all sick. We've established that, you know. Jared, hello, mm-hmm. Eat fresh. Yeah, well. But the whole thing is
more just, like he's eating ass now.
Oh God!
Yeah, he's getting a foot long, that's for sure. But but it's just like these guys, like the R. Kellys, the Wander Francos, the Jarretts, and stuff like that. These are people that are in the public eye. That I hate to say this, but there are people in this world that looked up to some of them. You know,
the thing is, though, is the difference between someone like R. Kelly and Wanda Franco is that people knew who R. Kelly was. Wanda Franco was not really in America and major leagues that long
to become
an icon, to become a role model.
But no, but here's the thing. But here's the only difference in that. You're right. And I agree with you on that. But to break out like he did, he certainly elevated himself above other guys.
He elevated his brand. He elevated
That's what
his
I mean.
Brand.
That's what I'm trying to say. He elevated himself, and he – I mean, if this happened to, like, Joe Schmo who played double A, nobody – none of us would have known about it. None of us would have actually cared. Well, we would have cared, but we wouldn't have cared, if that makes any sense. But when you're talking about a guy who was signed to a major deal like he was, so young, you know, and he was propelled to be the future face of the Tampa Bay Rays franchise – for him to be put on that pedestal, to basically take that pedestal and just say, pedestal is not young enough for me. You know? But you know what I mean? It's just...
Well, the thing is the one thing that we don't know, that we don't know, is when did this start?
Well, if you're saying he was in a relationship for, you know, or three different occasions with this thing, he could have been doing this shit while he was in Dominican.
That's what I mean. Like, it's happened in DR. It happened
right.
In the Dominican Republic. It could have happened straight up when he was in the Dominican League, probably when he was 17 or 18 years old.
But that still doesn't take away from the fact of what he did is fucked
up wrong.
Oh, I'm not
saying it's not. I'm not saying it's not. But on the other hand, we also have to think on when this happened. Because we don't know how young the girls were. If he was 17, these girls could have been as young as allegedly 13, 14 years old. We don't know because they don't give – the article from Jeff Passan does not give that information. We don't have – and they won't give that information because they're minors.
Of course, yeah. They always have to be protected. And that's all well and good, and I get that. But it's like the fact that Tampa Bay now has basically – he's been Bob Hollied, if you get that joke, if you've been a fan of ours for a while. He's basically being Bob Hollied from Tampa Bay. Any resemblance to anything that had him, no memorabilia, no pictures. You know, as far as I know, he still has his locker in Tampa because he's technically not released yet. He's just suspended.
He's on the commissioner list.
But I think it would be safe to say, and I think all of you would agree, his career is done.
Oh, 100%. I don't see any way, shape, or form that he bounces back from this. Because think about it. The game of baseball has been tarnished for a while. I mean, with the steroid era and –
The strikes
and, you know, just what else? I know I'm missing something else, John.
Let's see. There's don't forget it wasn't as rampant, but it was definitely more noticeable. There was more domestic abuse accusations flying around.
I mean, honestly, the game of baseball as a whole, I want to say in the last 9 or 10 years has probably been at its best. And unfortunately, an incident like this, it
tarnishes it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just it's really because there are people in this there are little kids that look up to these guys. I'm talking about 6, 7 year olds that look up to these players as gods.
Yeah.
There are, I mean, there's little kids that look at Pete Alonso and see him as like this superhero muscle man god. There's people in Tampa Bay that looked at Wander Franco as a god, you know, and J-Rod and so on and so forth. You know, these kids aren't smart enough to know that, oh, mommy, daddy, why isn't Wander playing anymore? How do you explain that to a little kid? You could explain, oh, he got injured or, you know, he had an injury, he can't play anymore. What do you say to your kid if they ask?
You don't.
But you see the point I'm trying to make, though, right?
But as a parent, you don't subject kids to that. For crying out loud, me and Christian are close to the same age. When we were younger, how many people did you see that were getting kicked out of the league and we were never told why until much later?
I can't think of how many players. I don't think, you know, to be quite honest with you, I don't think there's ever been a player.
OJ.
Had, no, I'm talking about baseball. I'm not talking about OJ.
But in general, OJ, look at wrestlers too.
I mean, OJ, dude, you could, no matter what age you were, you're going to figure it. Somebody was going to tell you, you were going to figure it out on your own. People don't give kids credit. Some kids are not stupid. They could put two and two together and figure out, you know, they could hear, they could pick up a newspaper or, before the internet really exploded, pick up a newspaper, pick up a magazine, look at a newscast. OJ is convicted, but at
10 years old, they're not going to realize that.
I'm sure you found out somebody was killed. You know, I mean, you knew somebody died, and his name was attached to it as being someone that they were looking at. I mean, you could put two and two together on that one.
And let's face it, as the words of Cedric the Entertainer, OJ did it.
This is what we're not going to do. You're not going to talk about my cousin, goddammit.
If the glove quit, fits, you must have quit.
Or, as the words of Van Wilder, if the dick don't fit, you're full of shit.
What was New Jack famous for saying? Didn't New Jack do something? He goes, during the whole mass transit incident?
Yeah. OJ, congratulations. Chalk one up to the good guys.
No, that's not what he said. He goes, I was just like OJ. Did it. Got away with it. Because Christian, I don't know if you know that story, but I'll tell you off air.
Maybe he'll write a book saying, if I did it.
But as far as I'm concerned, crank up the witch.
Emotional damage.
Oh, God.
And better news, Christian, did you hear about what the Lakers did?
No, what?
February 8th, 2024.
Oh, the Kobe statue?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I'm mad for two reasons. One, he won't be there to celebrate it. And two, I'm still mad that Shaquille O'Neal got a statue before he did. Remember, Shaq left the Lakers. Kobe didn't.
True.
Yeah.
He retired a Laker, didn't he?
Who, Kobe?
Kobe?
Yeah. He retired a Laker, didn't he?
He was drafted by the Lakers and... Never left.
No, he was drafted by the Charlotte Hornets. Then he was traded to the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah, but I'll hear. You guys want to hear this? I don't know if you guys remember 2007 when he was potentially talking about going to play for the Bulls. Remember, he idolized Michael Jordan.
I don't remember that.
He was looking at schools out here for his kids. I mean, in Illinois. He was looking, but he stayed with the Lakers. Like, and thing I always admired about him, you know, when teams stacked it up and, you know, when teams made super teams and everything, you know, he never left. And he even said, you know, I don't get why guys would stack up with each other and play with each other when, you know, I'd rather play against them and try to beat them. So that just goes to show you, you know, the competitive nature that he had. But look,
isn't his daughter going to be involved on that statue too? I think.
Yeah, she is.
I thought I heard that.
Yeah, because, you know, do you get the correlation, John, of the February? It's February 8th, right?
Yep,
Ronnie.
2/8/24.
You get the correlation, right? Kobe wore two numbers, 8 and 24, right? His daughter, who died
in the helicopter.
Yeah, she wore the number 2.
Okay, now, yeah, it all makes sense, yeah.
That's the tie-in, yeah. But, I mean, look, I remember saying, I say it to my coworker all the time because, you know, we chatted up about basketball all the time. Like, there were three basketball Hall of Fame speeches I was looking forward to the most. Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson, and Kobe Bryant. Thankfully, I was able to see two of them. But the fact that, you know, we never got a Kobe Hall of Fame speech, you know, that just takes so much out of you when you think about it. I mean, he was everything you wanted, you know, in a Hall of Famer. Like, we always say, the Hall of Fame is a story. You can't mention a certain time in the history of the sport, or you can't mention the position without mentioning those guys. And look, Kobe's the second greatest two guard ever behind Michael Jordan.
Yep.
You know what it is, and it's not really funny, but the interesting part of this is like, I've made it no secret, I've never really been a big basketball fan.
Yeah.
But even from an outsider like myself, who, I mean, like I said, I've seen a basketball game here and there. I mean, I've never not watched it. I knew how good Kobe was. I knew how good a Michael Jordan was, or a Larry Bird, or Magic Johnson, and the list goes on and on and on. We can go on and on and on about guys to play. Like when, what's his name, passed away? What was his name? Russell?
Bill Russell. Yeah.
Bill Russell passed away. I remember hearing stories about him from other players that would compare their career. They watched this. They got involved in basketball because of him.
You know what's crazy, John, that you mentioned him? You realize all three major sports in the last 3 years have lost icons, right? 2021.
Oh, yeah.
Baseball lost who? Hank Aaron.
Yep.
Yes,
2022, last year. Basketball lost Bill Russell. This year, we lost Jim Brown.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's just like, like I said, basketball, hockey are not sports that I've watched them on occasion, but I was never really heavily into them. I was always, baseball was always number one, then football, then if it was on and there was nothing else on, I'd turn on a hockey game or I'd turn on a basketball game just to have background noise.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody like Kobe, from what highlights I did see of him, the man was, I've never seen a player play with as much passion as he played.
Did I ever tell you when I saw him play up close?
No.
I saw him, Ronnie, did I ever tell you this too?
Yeah, you told me that. You told me off air.
Yeah, I don't mind saying it again.
John,
I saw him play during his final season, right?
Okay.
So that was 2015-2016. And look, I'll be the first to admit to you, like, when he was in his prime, I absolutely hated the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, I still hate the Lakers now, to be honest with you, because of all these new LeBron fans that are saying they're Laker fans, right? Like, I hate the Lakers. My boy was like, yeah, man, I think I want to get tickets to go see the Lakers play the Bulls because I've never seen Kobe play. I'm like, okay. Just let
me
know.
I'm down. Yep.
That's the most I ever spent for a ticket. That was $200 straight cash, homie. Up with that.
But you know what it is? That $200, you have $200 worth of memories of saying you got to see Kobe in his day.
I got pictures. I'm going to send them to you, John, so you can see when he played, when I saw him, because I have a picture of him shooting the basketball.
Oh, nice. Yeah, send them to me on Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm pissed off because, you know, I had videos and everything, and I lost them all because my old Facebook deleted. But, yeah, I mean, he got such a nice ovation. But you could tell that the end was near because any time, like in between timeouts, he was grabbing his back. He was grabbing his knees and everything. Like, his body had a lot of wear and tear on it. But he was still in tremendous shape.
I mean, you remember the day he tore his Achilles.
Yeah, I was watching that live.
So
was I. Hear about that story, John?
I've heard. I remember when it happened, but I don't remember.
Man, look, it was a move. It was a move he probably did 100 times out of 100 times, and he got it right, correct? And he just turned, he fell, and you could just see, you know, the angst on his face. Like, he looked like he wanted to cry.
Well, and, you know what it is. Yeah, go ahead.
And but, he got fouled. He got fouled, hit the two free throws, and then just couldn't play in the game.
The fact that the guy walked to the free throw line with a torn Achilles and made two free throws. Yeah, but how much you want to think? How much pain do you think he was in?
I mean, that supports your whole ankle right there, no?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you know what it is. You just said that, and I'm going to use a Ronnie knows where I'm going to go with this in a second. It's the thing because Ronnie and I are wrestling fans and stuff like that. There's been freak accidents in the ring where a guy or girl have done the same move thousands of times, and this one time they did it, it doesn't go right. Like when Darren Drozdov got paralyzed, D'Lo Brown picked him up, and what was going to do? What was it? What was the move, Ronnie? Like a powerbomb, I think
it was something like that.
It was a powerbomb, basically, where he picks him up, and his back, Drozdov's back is in the air, and what he does is they go down to the mat, and his back will hit flat on the mat. D'Lo's done this move thousands of times without any incident. This one time, he picked up D'Lo, and something happened, and he picked him up, and his neck went into the mat, and he broke his neck. It was a fluke. It wasn't something that, oh, my God, he picked him up wrong or he did do that. It was just a fluke, just like you said with Kobe. He's done that move how many times? And it just happens.
Exactly. Yeah.
But no, I got one question. I asked this of Ronnie, and I'm going to ask this of you. I'm going to go back to baseball real quick because there's a question I want to ask you. Now, we all know the Mets had a fire sale, and they were selling off basically everybody because they knew they weren't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't take this the wrong way. The Yankees were pretty much in the same position the Mets were. Ronnie already gave him his answer. Why do you think the Yankees didn't sell off like the Rizzos or the Severinos or the Glass Carlos or the...
I told you why they didn't sell Carlo.
Oh, I'm just saying players of that magnitude.
Yeah.
You know, like,
John, I sent you the picture on Facebook. Check that
all
out.
Right, I'll check it. Well, I'll check it later. But it's like, and restock the farm system. Ronnie gave me his answer. Why do you think the Yankees didn't sell off at the deadline?
Because that's just what the Yankees don't do. They always look to load it up. You know, the Yankees are almost like, it's almost like Alabama college football. Like, you know, they'll lose a ton of key guys to the NFL every year, but they'll never have a year where they feel they have to quote-unquote break it down. You know, they just load it up. And when you had, look, people can get on the Yankees for having that payroll and everything, but look, if you have money, you spend it. You see what I'm saying?
No, I get you.
The closest thing that the Yankees have had to a fire sale was 2016. They got rid of Carlos Beltran. They got rid of Brian McCann. They forced A-Rod to retire, and the Yankees bought up Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez, and Tyler Austin, right?
Right.
So I guess you could say that's probably the closest thing they've done to a fire sale, and the reason why maybe they didn't buy this year is because, you know, they want to see what they have in their farm system. I mean, Austin Wells and Jason Dominguez are coming up on Friday.
Yeah, Ronnie was telling me that. It's like, I'm surprised, because Dominguez had just got promoted from Somerset to Scranton, and he wasn't in Scranton more than, I guess, a week or two.
But you know what this tells me? That the Yankees are done. I think this is their way of saying we're waving the white flag without actually saying it, because they have a lot of ground that they have to cover up. Because they lost so many series in between, and it pushed them back, and other teams jumped ahead of them. Like, to be completely honest, the Yankees have to damn near be perfect to even win 90 games in the month of September. They can't lose more than what, Ronnie, maybe 5 or 6 games?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Even that, they might just hit 500.
Because they're under 500 right now, no? I don't know how many games, but I know they're under 500.
Yeah, I mean, they're like 64 and 68.
I don't think they've been under 500 since like 90, 1991.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, it's been the 90s. Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, honestly, this is what's going to happen in the off season. They're going to keep Cashman because Brian Cashman's like family, right?
He's already been extended. He's already been extended
he's
anyway.
He's got an extension already.
Boone's going to be the fall guy. He's going to be a scapegoat.
They're keeping Boone. Right now, they're keeping Boone.
Fuck.
But like I said, I did send you something in our group chat. You're happy that a certain person is no longer on this Yankees organization. That's Josh Donaldson.
Oh, God, praise the Lord. Like, honestly, just imagine if we still had Gio Urshela, because I liked him. He was good. He was a great defender. Like, you know who he was for us? He was Josh Naylor. He was Jason Kipnis, because they call Jason Kipnis in Cleveland a dirtbag. Because, I mean, he just flew all over the field and got his jersey dirty. That's what Gio Urshela was for us. And I'll even say this. If the Yankees never got IKF, and let's say the Yankees did get rid of Isaiah, Kiner Falefa, and DJ LeMahieu, Gio Urshela would be the utility guy because he can play everything in the infield.
Yes, he can.
First base.
Yes, he can. And I even remember hearing him say, I think I heard an interview where he was saying, he goes, if they want me to put on a catcher's gear, I'll catch too.
Yeah. So he was honestly, man, I loved him. I really did because, he played hard. He was a fan favorite. That honestly, the acquiring Josh Donaldson may have been the worst trade ever.
And also they put on waivers Harrison Bader.
Yeah, I saw that. They did that probably because they're bringing this kid up. They're bringing up Dominguez.
Yeah,
Bader wasn't a bad guy in the playoffs last year, if memory serves correctly. But
no,
he just
couldn't stay healthy.
That's the problem is because Bader, from what I remember him in St. Louis, he was a pain in the ass to teams when he played with the Cardinals.
Yeah, so like honestly, I kind of hope we get him back because we could plug him in at left field, make Dominguez the center fielder, and Judge can play right.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like, it'll be interesting. No, I just wanted to get your take on that, and it's like, and I find it funny that the Mets made a move today, and they finally designated for assignment Carrasco. They put him on waivers. They're cutting bait with Carrasco, finally.
Well, nothing could explain this bullshit that happened last night.
What's that?
We were talking about waivers. Well, the Anaheim Angels have officially given up on fuck the season giving up. They've given up on trying to even think about signing back Shohei.
Yeah, you were telling me about this.
Six players on waivers yesterday.
All guys they made in trades.
Grichik, thank you. That's what I was trying to pronounce.
Randall Grichik, yeah.
Rogifo. Yeah, like I'm trying to see where the other ones are because there was six.
Basically, everybody the Angels got in trades this year, they put on waivers, pretty much.
Dominic Leone.
They put Leone on waivers, too?
Yeah.
God, we'll bring him back to the Mets. We liked him.
Here we go. Giolito, Matt Moore, Lopez, Renfro, Grichik, and Leone.
They gave up a shit ton of prospects to get these guys, too, and they're waving the white flag. They're telling Shohei, basically, go where you want. He ain't coming back to Anaheim.
No, and all these guys are still playing through, like, being placed on waivers. They beat the Phillies today 10-8.
Yeah, well, the only way they're going to get pulled off their only way they're going to get pulled off the field is if someone claims them.
Yeah.
Like, if Leon's pitching, or all of a sudden the next pitch, the pitching coach comes out and pulls him out of the game, it's because, okay, Dominic, somebody claims you, you're off the team. That's the only way they're going to leave. Carrasco could still Carrasco, he's been on unrevocable waivers, so that means he's pretty much a roster spot is opening up. So
yeah, so they're going to start bringing people up.
They're going to bring somebody up. There's some Met kids pitchers down there. Mike Vassell, I heard a lot of good things about that kid. I hope that kid pans out. I made a joke to Ronnie this morning. I'll say this joke in front. There's one guy on the Mets team that I want to see go because it seems both heads seem to be injured this year, and that's Starling Marte. His groin is always hurt, and his head is hurt. So I'm like, which head? Both heads. I want him gone because he hasn't played. He hasn't done anything. I want this guy gone in the worst way. Oh, God.
And I think the biggest news, like, we'll spot off of baseball because there's nothing really other baseball going on.
But that's
on.
It. That's pretty much it, yeah.
I mean, we can start walking over towards the NFL where they finally cut down the rosters today and yesterday.
The final roster is what, 53 players?
53. And the biggest one is it's not a cut, but it is a trade. And it's going from the West Coast to Central. Can we officially call him? Can we officially call San Francisco a bunch of morons for this trade?
What, the Trey Lance one?
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, I mean, think about it. You want to know what makes this look even worse?
That they only got a fourth back?
No, I'm going to read here. Watch, listen to this, Ronnie.
Okay.
So, I'm going to read the player selections from the 2021 NFL draft, right?
Yeah.
We obviously know who went number one. Trevor Lawrence, right?
Lawrence, yep.
Obviously.
Then Zach Wilson went to the Jets.
Yep.
Then Trey Lance went to the 49ers at three.
The 49ers, yes, he did.
After giving
Listen
up
here,
after-
no, this is what gets me. Listen to everybody that was drafted after him. You ready?
Well, where were they originally? Where was San Francisco originally? 12th?
I think they were 18th.
Sorry, go to 18th then.
18.
Because once you're past 18, it really doesn't mean shit.
Was Miami, and they got Jalen Phillips. But listen, Falcons at 4.
Hold on, sorry. What a draft was that? That was 21. All right, go ahead. I'm just pulling up the draft.
Falcons?
Yeah.
Drafted Kyle Pitts.
Best tight end in college at that time.
At that time. The Bengals drafted Ja'Marr Chase.
Looking pretty good right now.
The Dolphins drafted Jalen Waddle. The Lions drafted Penei Sewell. Carolina drafted J.C. Horn, Joe Horn's son.
Yeah.
The Broncos drafted Patrick Surtain II. The Eagles selected Devontae Smith out of Alabama, who won the Heisman the year before. The Bears selected Justin Fields. And then the Cowboys selected Micah Parsons. Could you imagine Micah Parsons
on the 49ers with that defense? Oh,
with
my
Nick
God.
Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. Yo, they would have had a Super Bowl by now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, yeah, you're right. It was 18th. So then, yeah, to finish it off, Rashad Slater to the Chargers, Elijah Vera Tucker to the Jets, Mac Jones to the Patriots. There's another quarterback. Zaven Collins to the Arizona Cardinals. Alex Leatherwood to the Raiders. I remember that pick. Everyone was confused as shit to that pick. And Jalen Phillips went to Miami with that 18th pick.
Yeah.
I mean, other notes at the end of that first round was Najee Harris.
Trevor Etienne. Christian Darrisaw. Kwity Paye. Kadarius Toney, who's now a member of the Chiefs.
Eric Stokes.
Gregory Rousseau.
Yep. Rashad Bateman.
Yeah. The Jets got Elijah Moore.
That was a second round pick.
Mm-hmm. So just look at the possibilities of everybody they could have had. Like, they could have even had Justin Fields.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that would have been a better thing. Like, even though I don't think Fields is he's not the hype. He's not, man, God damn it, I kind of set myself up for the joke, because he's not.
I am the hype!
He's not the hype. I don't think everyone's screaming about him winning MVP. What the fuck is Chicago going to do this year? They ain't doing shit.
Mm-hmm.
Going to say, it's one of those things where people need to kind of reel back on how Justin Fields was. Maybe if he was with San Francisco, it might be a different understanding, because they actually had a line. But.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and then also Penei Sewell was Detroit.
Yeah.
Which, see how he does in this year with the season right around the corner.
Oh, damn, picture! I just looked at the picture, Christian. Very cool.
Yeah, that was, man.
That was a good. Those were pretty good seats, my friend. Very good.
Nah,
seats.
That was honestly, John. I zoomed in. That was the upper deck. That was nosebleed.
But I would, if you didn't tell me, I would have been like, damn, those were good seats.
And then here, I'm gonna send you another one.
That ball's in mid-flight too, boy.
And
wow,
it was, look, and it was nothing but net. All you heard was rope music.
Oh, so is he not going to be ready for this season?
Who?
Who's that?
Michael Thomas.
Who, the Saints? Michael Thomas?
Yeah.
Oh,
my body, rejected hardware from multiple surgeries.
Man, after that 2019 season, he just, man. He regressed.
Recovery from two. Not only did Thomas have to contend with significant ankle and toe alignment, but the recovery from the two surgeries was complicated by his body rejecting the hardware used to aid in the healing process.
Hmm.
I mean, he says that he's going to be able to go this year, but I don't know. He's still questionable for week one.
Oh, boy. Because
They might need him for Tennessee.
Nah, I think they can get away.
What else? The Patriots cut Zappe, then re-signed him to the practice squad.
Didn't the Giants not sign a quarterback or something?
Oh, no, that was the Jets. They cut Rodgers' best friend. His backup, they cut him.
But did they sign him to the practice squad, or did they just outright cut him?
I think they outright cut him. I think he was... Thomas already said that. People have high hopes for Mac Jones. Packers are looking in the Taylor trade. That's interesting.
Yeah, I saw that.
The Panthers waive Matt Corral. they'll probably re-sign him to a practice squad.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Now, when you get signed, this is one part of the thing I never really understood. Maybe either one of you can explain this to me. When they say they sign him to the practice squad, what are they just? Is this like a minor league system where they just practice every day?
Pretty much, that's the best way to describe it.
Is it like a football minor league where they're technically just playing on a field somewhere, just running
they're
things?
They're running the opposite quarterback to get the other team ready for the game, to get the main team ready for the game. It's almost like a taxi bus. So, like, say if someone gets hurt.
Right.
And they need an extra quarterback, they usually take the practice squad quarterback.
Okay.
That was a big thing for like David Carr when he was with the Giants. They put him on the practice squad, but then Eli was out for two weeks, so they had, and their backup was, I think Geno Smith was hurt, and they had to bring him over from the practice squad.
Okay. Excuse me. No, I was always curious about that. Keith Terrence has always been signed from the practice squad. I never understood what the hell the practice
was. It's a minor league deal. Just pretty much think about it that way.
Okay. No, that was it.
No, but I think the big news was Jerry Jones trading for Trey Lance for a fourth-round pick.
Didn't the Giants get somebody from, like, a seventh-round pick or something from Arizona?
Yeah, they got Isaiah Simmons.
Oh, Arizona's in a fire sale right now. They're
Arizona will be lucky to win a game this year.
Well, we'll get to them in a little bit when we get into the West.
Jesus Christ, the season hasn't already started. And they're already giving up on the season. They haven't even snapped the first game of the season yet.
Yeah.
Damn. Worse than the Mets. Shit.
All right, Ronnie, you ready to do this?
With the first pick in the NFL draft, the Arizona Cardinals select
Caleb Williams.
Yep. Or Drake May.
Yeah, because I could see Caleb Williams going. If Caleb Williams goes to Arizona, Drake May's going to go to Tampa.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing no one talks about. Caleb Williams is a junior.
Yeah.
He could pull an Eli or a Peyton. Be like, I'm not going there. I'm going back to school. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
And then Drake May will be one, and then he'll pull a the Chiefs. Herbert. He'll pull a Herbert. He was going to be draft first overall, but nope, I'm going to Oregon. Bye.
See, you wouldn't want to be you.
Oh, and there is one bit of news that I did mess up with last week. Corey Davis is not retiring.
I thought you just cut him.
No, he is still on the team, but he has stepped away due to family issues. He is on the retirement active is what they call it. It's almost like the pup list where he can step away from the team as long as he wants, and if he wants to come back, they'll welcome him back.
Okay.
But it frees up a roster spot for somebody else.
A rooster spot?
A rooster.
I made the rooster.
Alrighty then, let's go in to the AFC and NFC West, where, oh boy, it's not going to be an exciting division, is it, Christian?
Well, which one?
Both.
I mean, I think the AFC West is a bit more intriguing. Because, you know, Denver actually has a head coach. The Chargers, yeah, they made the playoffs last year, and they were on the wrong end of history. The Raiders,
yeah,
they'll
yeah,
be there, but...
Exactly, the Raiders.
Yeah, like, they'll be there, but, yeah. But yeah, I'm ready to break it down. Let's do it.
All right. Let's dive into the AFC West, and we are going to Denver, Colorado. Denver has an 8.5 over under and something ridiculous for what are they? They are like 30-1 to win the Super Bowl. There we go. 40-1 to win the Super Bowl, 25-1 to make it out, 5-1 to win the division.
The problem with Denver last year was they took Russell Wilson out of his element. Look how Russell used to play in Seattle. He was a guy that moved the pocket, a guy that made throws on a run, and a guy that made it happen with his feet. They tried to turn him into something he wasn't last year, which was a true pocket passer. And now Sean Payton's there, and I think Sean Payton's going to revitalize his career. Been telling people the last couple years, Sean Payton and Russell Wilson were going to be a tandem. And
Russell,
and
first name, Russell, last name,
Russell,
Wilson.
His name is Russell.
No, that joke you always
Wilson.
Made. Russell, last name, Wayne Wilson.
Last name Wilson, yeah.
or as we like to call him, Mr. Unlimited.
Oh, God. but Denver, I think they'll be a much improved team this year, but I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they win 8 games, though.
Yeah, they ain't making the playoffs this year. It's going to be a
because hard. I just think it's too much firepower in the AFC because, you know, obviously, you know, they're not better than a certain team in their division. You could even say a certain 2 teams in their division. They're not better than the Bengals. They're not better than the Steelers. They're not better than the Ravens. They're not better than Jacksonville. They're not better than Buffalo or Miami.
Or Cleveland. Or Cleveland.
Yeah. Possibly. But, yeah, you know, I think they're going to be on the outside looking in.
Yeah. Denver goes under 8.5.
Oh, definitely.
They're not making the playoffs.
No.
All right. Going to the favorites. Going to Arrowhead. Kansas City Chiefs. Their over-under is 11.5. To win the Super Bowl, they are 6-1. To win the conference, 3.5. And to win the division, -175.
They're going over.
I think they regress. I think they regress, but I still think they win 12 games. Christian, what do you got?
Yeah, I think they're going to win this division. I think they win 13 games. This year, but they come in with 2 concerns. One, can they have a guy that can consistently be another pass catcher outside of Travis Kelce? And 2, you know, how long is this thing with Chris Jones going to linger for? Like, they don't win a Super Bowl without Chris Jones. The last 2 times that they've won it, last year and the year when they beat the San Francisco 49ers. Chris Jones is their Aaron Donald. Like, they build around him. And, yeah, it's going to be tough. But, look, Patrick Mahomes is entering the prime of his career right now. He's the best player in the NFL, and it's not even close. Travis Kelce is still the best tight end in the league, and I think he's one of the best. He's one of the best tight ends I've ever seen do it, to be completely honest with you. Look, you know what you're going to get from the Kansas City offense. They're gonna push the ball up the field. You know, Mahomes is gonna find a way. I think Mahomes kind of showed you last year. You could take away a big target in Tyreek Hill, and he'll work with what he has around him. Did Justin Ross make the team, Ronnie? Can you look that up?
Yeah. Where are you? Kansas City roster. We'll see. Here we go. Roster. Who are we looking for?
Justin Ross. He's a wide receiver.
It was okay. They should have the cuts up on here too on ESPN. Yes.
Yeah, okay, boom. There's your second pass catcher right there outside of Travis Kelce, but it's that Chris Jones thing.
Oh,
they
still have Scantling on the team, too.
Yeah, he's hit or miss. No.
He's a good slot guy, though. He's a good slot guy.
Okay, but he's not consistent.
Yeah, that is true.
He's not, like, he had that big game in the AFC Championship game, and then he disappeared in the Super Bowl. So, yeah. But, nah, Justin Ross is going to be the number one wide receiver. So, Mahomes is going to have Kelce and Justin Ross, and then Isaiah Pacheco as well. But, yeah, this is the best team in that division. They have the best player and the best coach in that division, and they're going to win that division again.
Yep. All right, time to go to Las Vegas, the Raiders. Their over-under is 6.5. They're to win the Super Bowl, they're 45-1. To win the conference, they're 30-1. To win the division, they're 15. first coach fired, Vegas.
You think so?
Oh, McDaniels is going to get shit canned. They don't sniff 6 wins. They get 5. I got them winning 5 games.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. They're going under, definitely.
Yeah, I agree with you guys on that as well.
With how hard the AFC is, it's kind of a thing. Next, the right LA, the Chargers.
The Chargers?
Chargers. They're 9.5 is their over-under. The Bolts are 22-1 to win the Super Bowl, 12-1 to win the AFC, and plus 280. They're the second favorites to win the division.
I think they go over, maybe.
They go under, but they hit 9.
So they basically they push then, in other words.
It's 9.5, so they have to win 10. They have to win 10 to go over, and to win 10 in that division, I bet you the guys that win the only team to not win the division that's going to hit 10 wins is either the Bills or the Jets or Miami. I don't think anyone else you're going to see 10 wins. You're going to see 9 or close to it. Christian, what do you think?
This is the Chargers?
The Bolts, yep.
Chargers.
I think they win 8 games this year, maybe even 7, because...
Oh, really? You have them going under 500?
Yeah, because I don't trust their defense, and they didn't do enough to really improve that defense this year. Like, okay, outside of Joey Bosa and Derwin James and Khalil Mack, if he's healthy, who else on that defense really scares you?
Yeah, not many. They kind of restock through the draft, so you don't really know a lot of players.
Yeah, so my thing is this. Their offense, they're going to have to take up a bulk of the responsibility. They're going to have to sustain a lot of long drives to take pressure off that defense.
Yeah.
God, it feels good talking football without being interrupted.
Huh?
Oh, come on, that was us. Come on, that joke was out of left field. Come on.
Just whatever you're don't leave yourself out of it. God damn it.
Huh?
All right. So to win the division, you have Kansas City, Christian?
Yeah, I like the Chiefs. I mean, it's because of that man that wears the number 15, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, look. The Chiefs have dominated this division every year since 2016, and I don't see them letting up anytime soon.
No, you're right. I agree with you on that one 1,000%.
Yeah. What did Ryan just text me?
What?
Oh, an NFL meme.
Does he feel left out?
No, he doesn't.
No. All right, forget the joke. I know.
I got the joke. All right.
I was right on with that joke.
Yeah, far right, far left, right down the middle. All right, NFC time. Oh, God. The Arizona Cardinals, their over-under is 4.5.
Under.
To win the – oh, God. To win the Super Bowl is 200-1. To win the NFC, they're 100-1. To win the conference, yeah, fucking right. Very funny, motherfucker. 27-1.
They can't play shit.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, yeah, this is their...
Emotional damage.
Oh, Jesus. Fuck the hype. There is no hype. Under. They win. They'll be lucky to win 3 games.
Who?
The Cardinals.
Yeah, I don't really see them doing much.
We're all in agreement? Under?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. The next team, the L.A. Rams.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. They're over under 6.5 to somehow win the Super Bowl again. They're 50-1. They're 25-1 to win the conference, and I don't know. I'm making this up as I go. Probably plus 350 to win the close. 70-1 Super Bowl, 30-1 to win the conference, 8.5 to win the division.
I think they're going to get 7. I think you're going to get 7 out of them, but that's about it.
They win 6, they're going to sell Stafford off by Halloween.
Trick or treat, motherfucker.
Christian, what do you think?
They have question marks because, you know, how do you replace Jalen Ramsey, right? Like, Jalen Ramsey was the heart and soul of your entire team, and who's going to be the other weapon to catch passes outside of Cooper Kupp? You know, I just don't think this team has really done a lot, and they don't have the draft capital because they traded everything away.
Yep.
And so they're really in a bind right now. I think they're going to struggle again this year. I think they win 5 games.
All right, Christian, let me ask you a question here. Like, I got you just mentioned a guy that I remember him from the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Is there any value in Cooper Kupp?
Yeah. I mean, he got paid last year. He got hurt last year, but 2021, he was arguably the best wide receiver in football. I mean, he won Offensive Player of the Year, and he won the Triple Crown in the NFL for wide receivers. You know what that is, right, John? The Triple Crown for wide receivers is when you lead the league in 3 of the major statistical categories. So
yeah, I have heard.
He led the league in receptions that year in 21. He led the league in yards.
Touchdowns and yards.
He led the league in touchdowns. And it's only been done by 8 guys.
All right. Now, with that being said, if he is moved, where do you see the best landing spot for him being?
Wow, that's a good question.
The Giants.
What about the Jets? Yeah. The Jets or Giants could be in on him?
I could say the Giants because more so the Giants than the Jets because I think the Giants need that veteran presence.
No, I got one. Christian, I got one.
Yeah, go ahead, and then I'll finish.
Baltimore.
Yeah, that's a possibility, but I think the Giants would be a hand-in-glove fit because Brian Daboll knows how to work with offensive weapons. I mean, look at what he was able to do with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. Now, you bring in a guy like Cooper Kupp to the Giants, and, you know, he'd be the veteran of that locker room. He would literally, you know, be penciled in as the number one because the Giants, they don't have a true number one receiver. Like, here's the thing, John. Can I explain to you what a true number one wide receiver
does? Go for it.
A true number one wide receiver, they put fear into your secondary. So when you're game planning for that team, it's simple. It's saying, look, let's keep him underneath. You know, he's not beating us over the top. We can let those other guys beat us. You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
Like for the Jets, you know, me being a former defensive player, I'm zooming in on one guy, and that's Garrett Wilson. Like, he puts fear into your secondary. The Giants don't have that type of guy. And if they were to get Cooper Kupp, that could potentially catapult them up to winning the NFC East, in my eyes.
All right, here's the other question. Here's a little thing to what if? All right, let's just say the Giants wanted him. How much do you think they're going to have to give up to get a guy like him?
Well, you're probably going to have to give up, I say, probably your first round for next year, or your first round whenever you, your first round pick in whatever draft. Probably, Ronnie, you're probably going to have to give up 2 first-round picks.
I mean, it depends on what they're trying to get rid of. I mean, if they're selling, if they're just trying to get rid, if they're already kind of in a fire sale, they're going to probably take what they can get.
Right, because it's tough to trade with the Rams.
You're lucky to get a one for anybody on the Rams, because the Rams have nothing.
Yeah, but John, it's tough to trade with the Rams now. And to kind of piggyback off what Ronnie just said, you know, they don't have the draft capital to really make moves. So they're strapped. So they have to sign veterans, or, you know, they have to use free agency to get guys now, because they can't draft. They can't groom guys up.
Who are you talking about, the Rams or the Giants?
The Rams.
All the Rams, okay.
I bet you if the Rams traded Kupp, you're looking at that would be equal draft capital, a 2, a 3, a 5, and a 7.
And you said he's lost. How many years does he sign for?
I actually don't know that.
Yeah, I can look that up. Hold on.
Yeah. But I'm saying probably equal value. It's either going to be a straight first, or you're probably looking at you're not going to get, because they have nothing, you're not going to get multiple firsts out of it. If you want multiple picks out of it, you're looking at a second and a third for high picks, and then maybe a 5th and a 7th.
Okay.
Let me see.
Christian, is that too far out of hand to say, though?
No. He signed a 3-year, $80 million contract extension with the Rams last year on June 9th, 2022. And you want to know how dominant he was last year, John? Listen to this.
I'm listening.
In the opening game against the Buffalo Bills last year, Cooper Kupp caught 13 passes for 128 yards.
Damn.
The game after that, he caught 11 passes for 108 yards. And 2 weeks later, he caught 14 passes for 122 yards.
Yeah, but from what I remember during that Superman, he was a thorn in the side of when they were in that Super Bowl, man. The other team had no way to stop him.
Yeah, because, you know, that was the Bengals' weakness that year. Like, their secondary wasn't necessarily the strongest. And I even remember telling Rodney that year, like, look, the Bengals need to go in 2 directions in the draft. They either need to go offensive line to protect Joe Burrow, or they need to go secondary. And, yeah, Cooper Kupp, like, man, he just makes it look effortless because, you know, he's wispy. He – not necessarily the quickest.
He's wary.
But yeah, he knows.
He's wary.
Look, he knows how to maneuver himself to get open. He wins his battles at the line of scrimmage. And, yeah, I mean, you know, he's a special player.
Oh, okay.
He would have been a lot better if in that Super Bowl if OBJ didn't break his leg.
Yeah.
Where's OBJ playing this year? Is he not?
Baltimore. Dude, I would not want to line up with if you had Lamar going with OBJ in the slot and Cooper Kupp right outside of him. Oh, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the thing. Everyone's like, oh, OBJ's going to play outside. I think he's dangerous as a slot receiver.
He doesn't have that torque and that release now.
Not anymore.
He's torn that ACL twice. And, you know, remember, he broke his leg his ankle a couple years ago. So
yeah.
I think he's going to be a slot guy primarily.
Oh, dude, him, just the cuts into the slants, and then if he can even get remotely what he used to be, it looks like they're going to play him outside, though, with Lamar.
You know who reminds me of Odell in the league now, Ronnie and John?
Oh, in the league now?
Yeah, Jamar Chase. And the reason why I say that is because Jamar can – remember when Odell was in his prime, Odell could take a 5-yard slant play and take it to the house. Jamar Chase does the same thing.
You know what he reminds me of a guy that used to play at Laverne's Coles?
Who?
Jamar? OBJ. No, OBJ.
Nah, he's more explosive than Laverne.
Well,
Coles.
I'm saying, no, here's the thing. The one thing about Laverne's Coles that no one talked about, and this is why I love those Jet teams back then, was Coles was the route runner. He was the perfect guy that cut and got open.
Wasn't Santana Moss that too, or no?
He was your inside guy. Yeah, he was your inside guy, but he was also the take the top off the defense guy.
Yeah, because he played a lot bigger than he appeared. Like he could play. He was a smaller possession receiver, John.
Okay.
That's why that 90s, early 2000s Jet team was ridiculous, because you had Cole that can cut, and you didn't. Okay, you're gonna have the safeties play underneath. Nope, Santana Moss is going to run right fucking by you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, here comes Wade Corbett across the middle. Just
Much respected love to number 80, man.
That was a deadly wide receiver core. Now, I'm going to say this. The Jets would have won a Super Bowl if Keyshawn was still there in the 90s. If you had Santana Moss, Laverne's Coles, and Keyshawn Johnson, tell me they couldn't have won a fucking Super Bowl.
Yeah, they probably could. And who was the
one?
And then Curtis Martin and Lamont Jordan in the backfield with Vinny Testaverde throwing the ball.
Was it Testaverde? And was it Pennington still with the team then?
No, he came in the early 2000s out of Marshall. He was 01. He was part of the. He wasn't the Parcells guy. He was the Edwards guy. He was part of the Herm regime.
There's an underrated quarterback right there. Chad Pennington's very underrated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the fucking jersey sitting right in my closet.
Very underrated quarterback that didn't get the credit he so rightfully deserves.
Listen. I had to sit through the OG number 4 in Glenn fucking Foley. All right. Let's go to San Francisco. Their over-under is 10.5. They are the third favorite to win the Super Bowl at 9. They're plus 360 to come out of the NFC, and they're minus 200 to win the division. They're the favorites to win the division. Brock Purdy's should be back by week 1. This team goes over and wins the division. John?
What's the number now?
10.5.
Oh, they're going over.
With how weak that is, yeah. Christian?
Yeah. This is the best team in the NFC West. They're very well coached. And I just love the balance that they play with, because they can run the ball. Christian McCaffrey is a new man. You know, I think he really just needed out of Carolina to show you what he could do, and then look at everything he was doing for the 49ers offense. And he takes pressure off of Deebo Samuel, because him and Deebo kind of play the same way. If you think about it, they do multiple things. But I think the key for this entire offense is Brandon Ayuk. He's your best pure route running wide receiver on your depth chart. Defensively, this is the best defense coming into the league in the National Football League this year. But what are they going to do with Nick Bosa? Because he's the reigning defensive player of the year. He's the best player on this defense. They've built around him. I mean, they have a two-headed monster in that defense, and him and Fred Warner, the middle linebacker. I think he's the best middle linebacker we have in the National Football League. But, yeah, this 49ers team, they're going to be a tough out again. They can beat you in so many different ways. And Brock Purdy, that's his job to lose moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, no Trey Lance, and then you got the competent backup behind him, but it's Brock's show. All right, final team, Seattle Seahawks. Over under 9 to win the division. They are 35-1 to win the Super Bowl, 14-1 to win the NFC, and plus 22-0. So plus 220. 220. There we go. So 2-1 for the most part to win the division. They push 9. No Jigba for week 1 as of right now. With a broken wrist. It's just Seattle. I don't think Geno Smith is going to repeat what he did last year. I don't think
Geno Smith with the fucking Seahawks now.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, how many fucking teams that guy gets around more than Noah Syndergaard? Jesus Christ.
Well, they just signed him to a three-year contract, so he's staying there for a little bit.
Oh, Christian, the only reason I make that joke is because did you see Syndergaard's tweet the other day?
No, what'd he say?
After he was DFA'd by the Indians, Cleveland sucked anyway. And then he quickly deleted that tweet.
Yeah, he meant what he said.
Jesus Christ, four or five different teams in less than a couple of years. Jesus Christ. That's the way Geno Smith is.
Yeah. But no, I think I'm going to say they win 9 games. They might make the playoffs, but they ain't winning the division.
I agree with you. I'm in agreement with you on that one.
Yeah, I think they win 10 games this year. You know, I think them getting Wagner back is going to kind of solidify things in that front 7. Not saying the secondary is LOB-esque as it was all those years ago, but Tariq Woolen, he has next. I think he could have a breakout year this year. I like the pieces that Seattle has offensively because you have Kenneth Walker III, and he was having a great year up until he got hurt. Obviously, you have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. He's going for his fifth 1,000-yard receiving game, 1,000-yard receiving season. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the National Football League. But, you know, the addition of Smith and Jigba, he's going to help put this offense over the top. He's going to be that guy that can take the top off his own. You remember, I've compared him to Chris Godwin of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, I think Seattle, the NFC West is going to come down to 2 teams this year, Seattle and San Francisco.
But now health might be an issue because Jigba is going to be out.
Yeah, which is tough because I had him winning Offensive Rookie of the Year. Damn it.
I think if he misses one, he might miss 1 or 2 games. If he does, if it's more than that, then you might be in trouble.
Okay.
All right. So who are you guys taking to win the division?
What? Huh?
Go ahead, John.
No, I'm
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I think you feel nostalgic for it for a second. But no, anyway, win the division. Now, who's this?
The West. See, we all took KC.
I think it's going to be. I'm pretty much going to go with KC on this one. It's like I don't see.
Well, no, for the NFC, so the it's pretty much San Francisco or Seattle.
I'm going to go Seattle. I just have this weird feeling about Seattle. I have a feeling this is going to be a good year for them, and I'm just going to take a shot in the dark at that one. I have a gut feeling, and I'm going to go with it. So I'm going to take Seattle.
All right, Christian.
I'm taking San Francisco.
Kyle Shanahan just always seems to get the best of his guys. And, you know, if they're healthy, we're talking about San Francisco being the reigning NFC champions coming into this year. I just think, you know, I want to see what Brock does now. You know, he's starting from week one. You know, he came in week 12, week 13 last year. And Brock Purdy's a damn good quarterback. And I think they're going to cater to his skill set. You know, they're not going to have him take games over with his arm. If he can throw the ball at least 30 times a game, they're going to be in good position.
Before we go into college, Christian, what did you have as your conference winners for each for the divisions? What did you have for the North?
Oh, for what, for the NFL?
Yeah.
For both the AFC and NFC?
Yeah, all of them. Just recap.
Yeah, I mean, for the AFC North, I had Cincinnati. I mean, they're the best team in the AFC North. They have been. They've shown it the last couple of years. If you want to get anywhere in that conference, in that division, you got to take down the Bengals. Remember what I said? These ain't the same Bengals that we saw all those years ago. I mean, you know, they have a quarterback. They're very well coached. And this team continues to gain experience. You see what I'm saying? For the NFC North, I'm taking the Detroit Lions. I think they win the NFC North for the first time in franchise history. I mean, I feel the NFC North is the most wide-open division in the National Football League because you could make a case for Minnesota, the Bears, Green Bay.
Excuse me.
You don't know what you're going to get. And, you know, the Lions, man, I like what the Lions built up last year. And I think they're going to, you know, they're going to build off of what they started last year. The AFC East, I have Buffalo. You know, I just think Buffalo is, they're the best team in this division. Yeah, they did lose Tremaine Edmonds, but, you know, other guys are just going to have to step up. And that's where Matt Milano is going to step in. Yeah, they're going to be without Von Miller for the first, five or six games. But
he's on the pub, so four.
Yeah. So, yeah, when they get him back, you know, he's going to elevate everything around him. Remember what I kept saying? If he's playing in that game last year in the playoffs against Cincinnati, they win that football game. NFC East, I like the Philadelphia Eagles. I think for the first time in the history of the NFC East, we're going to have a repeat winner. The Eagles, they have the best roster. They won the NFL draft. Their defense, they built up that defense. They signed Jalen Hurts. Everybody's pretty much coming back, but they have an upgrade now at running back in DeAndre Swift. AFC South, I like the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they're getting Calvin Ridley back this year, and I think he's going to be a huge difference maker for Trevor Lawrence, but I think Travis Etienne is going to be the difference maker for this Jacksonville offense, and most importantly, you know, can this Jacksonville defense improve? Because there were times when they let up. And for the NFC South, I like the Saints. Derek Carr finally gives them stability at the most important position. Look, John could agree with this. It's tough to replace a Hall of Famer.
Oh, damn, without question.
Because,
it totally is.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints haven't had that stability since Drew Brees at quarterback, and now they have it. And for the West, I like Kansas City for the AFC West, like we just said a couple minutes ago, and I like the 49ers for the NFC West.
Yep, and then wild card we'll take care of next week when we do our playoffs. And John, what about you?
I kind of don't. It's hard for me to remember everybody.
Here we go. I'll run this through. All right, for the East, Bills, Jets.
I'm running to the bathroom real quick.
All right, go ahead. Bills, Jets, Dolphins, Patriots.
I'm going with the Jets. I just have this weird feeling now with Aaron Rodgers being here now. I think it's going to be – he's going to elevate this team.
Yeah.
To something that they haven't had a quarterback with the leadership and with the – the long-standing football knowledge that he has. You know, I don't think they're – I mean, in my heart, I want to see them win because I'm a fan, but I just have a gut feeling about it. I think they're going to – it's going to be either the Jets or Buffalo, but I'm going to take the Jets.
Okay. AFC North, Ravens, Bengals, Browns, Steelers.
Bengals. I'm with what Christian said about the Bengals.
Okay. AFC South, the Texans, the Colts, the Jags, the Titans.
I'm going to go with the Jags because I have a feeling that team's about ready to break out. I just have a weird feeling about that one.
All right. So NFC East, the Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, Commanders.
I want the Giants.
Sorry. The Redskins.
Yeah, fuck. Say it right. I'm going to go with the Giants because I can't bring myself to saying anything about the Fry Eagles Fry. I can't
the
say anything
Eagles.
No, I said what I said.
The NFC North, the Bears, the Lions, the Pack, or Vikings?
Who's favorite in that division?
Detroit. But everyone's pretty much within striking distance.
I'm going to go Chicago.
Okay. I mean, that's not – I've seen people say if Justin Fields is what people think they are, they could win that division. And the South, the Falcons, the Panthers, the Saints, and the Bucks.
That's a tough one. I can't really put my finger on that one. Who's favorite now?
The Saints.
I'll take the Saints then. That one I'm not. That one is, I'm too much of a crapshoot on that one.
It really is. I mean, the Falcons right now with Bijan Robinson being there, I could see the Falcons taking a step forward and winning division, but it all depends on quarterback play.
Oh, just broke just 4 minutes ago with baseball. The Mets are calling up Ronnie Mauricio when the rosters expand on Friday.
Okay, and this is just breaking news. Nebraska outsold All In.
Ah.
I'm not even kidding. And hello, Ryan.
What's up, guys?
Nebraska volleyball sets a world record for a women's sporting event.
Interesting.
Would you like to know how many fans showed up to a volleyball game for Nebraska? I already said they outsold All In, so that should give you a hint.
Okay.
92,003 to
wow.
Watch a volleyball game. 92,000 fans.
Wow.
Ryan, what do you got to say about that? Did he hear me? Nebraska volleyball sets a world record for sporting attendance. They just broke this. 92,003.
So they officially outsold AEW.
Yes.
How's that feel, Tony?
A Nebraska volleyball game outsold.
What? Wait a minute. We got outsold. I got to snort. I got to do a line, damn it.
I am a man!
Oh, so my picks for the division winners, AFC West, I got Kansas City, plain and simple.
Oh.
The AFC North, I got the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You're damn right you do.
I don't know how healthy Burrow is. His quad and calf are still in question.
Look, as long as he doesn't gnash himself, we're good to go.
Damn it, you said it before I did, schmuck.
hey, really, listen. I'd rather be his quad than his dick.
No, that's Starling Marte that's got two heads that are always fucked up.
Yeah. The South, I have the Jags.
Jag off.
The East, I have the Jets. For the
goddamn Jets.
For the NFC, I have the West, I have San Francisco. The North, I have Green Bay.
Hey,
really?
Are you guys excited that for once during football season you'll be able to say the goddamn Jets in a positive way?
Woo!
Yeah, right.
Oh shit.
It's going to be so nice this football season.
Emotional damage.
The South, I have the Nolan Saints.
Nolan.
And East, I have the Eagles.
Fuck
Ryan.
Yeah.
Just run through real quick. Who do you have winning each division? Not wild card, just division.
Oh, I'm going to go with your picks because I did not do any research for this conversation.
Okay, that's all good. Christian Beck.
Yeah, I'm back.
All right, time to go into college. Yeah, next week's
I'm
going
to go back to college.
I mean, the Flying Lindy.
The Triple Lindy.
Triple Lindy. I don't care. Flying Lindy. Simple.
You tongue-tied motherfucker.
Fucking bullshit.
Fucking bullshit.
Exactly.
You humble
so.
Motherfucker.
That's my purse! I don't know you!
Oh my.
No reaction out of Christian.
I just shake my head at this point now.
So, Christian, I was just saying before, I don't know if you heard, the Nebraska volleyball team set a world record for a women's sporting event. They're usually women,
yeah,
but I don't know if they actually, 92,000 fucking people.
Nice.
And they just had wrestling. AEW wrestled in Wembley Stadium in England, and this thing outsold them. So right now the owner of AEW is right now doing about 7 lines to get over that.
Oh,
just,
I mean,
one massive line.
Close enough. I mean, he had the book Dynamite today, so. All right, so Christian, send me that text of the 3 games.
Yeah.
So it is official. Cam Bad Moon Rising is doubtful for the opener against Florida. And I bet you, I guarantee you, no one understood that fucking joke. Because we're old.
I just read an interesting piece of sports-related news.
What's that?
Missouri will now be celebrating Albert Pujols Day in January.
Oh.
Nice.
Yes. All right. Christian, I'm going to ask you, I don't really know if you saw anything in particular at a week 0.
No, I didn't really see much.
I mean,
oh, you know what, Kristen? I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How much longer do you think these preseason injuries and game stoppages are going to last before they just cut it out entirely?
It's going to happen. I have never been a fan of starters playing in the preseason because, you know, once he gets hurt and depending on the severity of the injury, you don't know how much longer he's going to be out for. Like, I remember when Michael Vick broke his ankle in the preseason and he missed, I want to say, like the first 10 or 11 weeks of the season. And then I remember Trent Green getting hurt in 1999, which eventually opened the door up for a guy who would go on to be a future Hall of Famer in Kurt Warner. But honestly, they've already cut down on one preseason game. Because remember, it used to be 4, Ryan. Now, it's 3 of them. I kind of just,
right,
you know, maybe do 2. And that's it. And, you know, I know there are some starters who want to play in a preseason.
I mean, that Miami game was completely stopped.
Yeah, because I remember when Peyton Manning was still playing, Tony Dungy said Peyton would want to play in preseason games up until the third quarter. And it would be so bad for him to get back onto the field to the point where they would have to hide his helmet.
Right. Well, I mean, there's some people that want to get out there and play just for the love of the game itself, you know, actually loving to play. And, you know, Peyton Manning was one of those guys. But I'm just like, man, we've had, what, two games stop this preseason?
Mm-hmm.
They were just complete stoppage.
Was it two? I know one.
I know the Miami game for sure, but I think there was one before where there was another player that got fucking knocked out, I believe, with another head injury, and they called it. You know, and you've got one side of the argument where people are going to be like, well, you know, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars to play a game. They should get out there and play. You know, getting hurt's part of it.
They're not getting
but at the same time,
like,
right, you don't get. They're not getting paid for preseason, and honestly, they're taking years off their career, and that's the problem. So I'm just curious. Like, is this going to be something that they're going to keep gradually kicking down, or, you know, could this be the last season of actual preseason football?
I think you're going to start seeing them going to the boards about getting 18-game season.
Or just extend the season?
Extend the season and cut down. They'll pretty much cut down preseason games. They're irrelevant anyway because they do joint practice.
That's true, but I mean, a big part of why these injuries in preseason are happening is because, like, these guys are... they're fighting for a job. They're fighting for that starting position, so, you know, they're given a little extra, and unfortunately, it's leading to injuries.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this could be, like serious injuries, like career injuries.
Yeah, I get it. I understand that. But, okay. Ready to dive into college football?
Yeah, let's dive in.
All right. Let's start off with the teams that we always like. So if you're new to this, we'll keep this short and sweet to anyone that's joining us for the first time. We have six games that we always will go to. And then there's another 10 that seem like they're either going to be game of the year games or they're going to be big enough games. We don't have a lot of cupcake games that we pick. We pick these, no spread. I will be saying this to the games and give my opinion on the gambling side of it as they give the side of just as a fan. John, I want you to still pick these. I want you to be as how the public would, how you think the public would look at these games. Okay?
I know
you know nothing about it. Just honestly throw a dart at the wall and pick a name.
Yeah, fuck it. Flip a coin, buddy.
This is not going to any contest or anything like that. We're just having fun. So first game on the list, Rutgers is a 6.5-point favorite against Northwestern.
Rutgers. I mean, I know that much.
Yeah. Sunday noon game. They kick off the Sunday Labor Day weekend.
They're the only football game playing that day, aren't they?
Nope. They got three games on Sunday because it caps off with LSU Florida State. We'll get to them.
Okay.
But, all right, Ryan, what about you?
I'm going to go Rutgers.
Okay, Christian.
I like Rutgers in this one. I just think Northwestern, they have too much of a storm cloud hovering over them.
And obviously, I'm the Rutgers fan. I'm going Rutgers and the cover. I already have the bet in on that.
Of course you do.
I had to go across lines for that. Had to go into Pennsylvania to get that leg that came in.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. That's a good one.
What?
Yeah. All right, next game, we're going to Beaver Stadium as Penn State takes on West Virginia. They are a 20.5-point home favorite.
Who West Virginia is?
No, Penn State is.
I'm gonna take West Virginia. I'm gonna throw. I thought you said throw a dart.
That's fine. I'm not questioning your pick.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna go with John. I mean, as rare as an upset would be, we have seen rarer things happen early on in the season.
I mean, this is the same team earlier in the year that almost lost to Idaho.
Idaho?
Right. So, I mean, West Virginia coming in and, you know, having, you know, even a come-from-behind victory against them, it's plausible. It's plausible. So I'll give West Virginia a shadow of the doubt.
Christian?
I like Penn State here. I just think that two-headed rushing attack of Katron Allen and Nicholas Singleton, I think that's just going to be too much for West Virginia to contend with.
Yeah, I agree with that. As much as West Virginia could cause them a fit, Penn State has Big Ten title hopes.
Yeah, I think, I look at West Virginia, and the key for them to win this game, they're going to have to pound. They're going to have to pound the rock. When they ran the ball last year for 200 yards or more, they were undefeated. They were 5-0. And the ground game is even better now than what it was last year. And they had a slew of issues last season. The defense wasn't necessarily the best, but now, you know what I'm saying? New year, new hope, new potential, new opportunity. And the offensive line is probably the best in the Big 12, right? But
this game needs to be played between the tackles and 3 yards and a cloud of dust.
Exactly. And, I mean, controlling the clock is what's going to determine the outcome of this game. And then Penn State, the reason why Penn State's going to win, that defense is going to be aggressive, and they're going to get – to the football, and they're going to get in the backfield. They're going to force West Virginia to throw that ball. And I trust Penn State's offense more than I trust West Virginia's offense, because they have more balance, and I think that's going to be the difference maker.
Yep, Zombie Nation will be rocking, and then everyone's going to go to the creamery afterwards. I really need to make my way down to fucking Penn State. I've never been there.
Me neither.
And I need to make my way down to Beaver Stadium. Rutgers plays in Beaver Stadium this year. I told my wife, I go, we're going.
You want to go after the Beaver, don't you?
Listen, the Nittany Lions play at Beaver Stadium. Figure that shit out.
A lion going after the Beaver?
Yeah. A whole bunch of pussy references. All right, Michigan takes on Eastern Carolina. They're a 36-point favorite. Oh, my God, Michigan. And covered.
Michigan, of course.
Brian?
Michigan.
Yeah, I like Michigan in this one. Yeah. I don't think anything else really needs to be said.
Nope, and cover. Yeah. Boy. The Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, and apparently – if he stays healthy, Heisman candidate Sam Hartman takes on Tennessee State. Woo-hoo. There's no spread to this game because they're a freaking FBS. They're a freaking 1AA school. Notre Dame wins.
Tennessee.
Not the Volunteers. Tennessee, can I help you, State?
Welcome to Chili's.
Yes. Hey, Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even ask you if Notre Dame is going to win. But guess what?
What?
We're going to the island.
Okay.
Hawaii.
Oh,
is
God.
Hawaii is a 3.5-point dog against Stanford.
I'm going to take Hawaii for shits and giggles.
We're on the island. Stanford is actually supposed to be one of the worst teams in a Power 5 school. Give me the Rainbow Warriors. Give me Hawaii.
Yeah, I'll take Hawaii.
Yeah, I'm taking Hawaii as well.
Yeah. Oh, and hammer the over. It's 57.5. Hawaii likes to pass the ball. Freaking 11:30 on Friday.
11:30 p.m.?
Yep.
Fuck that.
It's Hawaii time, dude.
Fuck that.
Oh, and we get to enjoy the turnover pencil as Temple is a 9.5-point favorite over Akron.
Temple,
and they cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christian, you going to say it or?
Ain't nobody care.
Yeah, Temple wins.
Either. Ain't nobody care. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now to the games where could be fun. TCU takes on Colorado. TCU is a 20.5-point favorite. Christian, you are writing about this game. Give me your keys to the game.
Well, with Colorado, they have to go in to Fort Worth, and they have to punch TCU in the mouth early on. And this offense that, remember, they played last year in week one, and TCU just bullied them. Now, this is a completely different football team with a new head coach. This is the debut of Deion Sanders, remember, leaving Jackson State and going to Boulder. And Colorado has been the talk of the offseason all year long. TCU, remember, this is going to be an easy game for Colorado. TCU is a national runner-up for a reason. Chandler Morris comes back. The receiving corps is going to be a bit more experienced, and the defense, I think, is going to be a lot better this year. It's going to start with Josh Newton. He is going to be a key piece to that secondary, and he wears the number 24 as a corner. You can't be a slouch wearing the number 24 when you're playing in the defensive backfield. Darrell Revis, Ty Law, Charles Woodson, and Champ Bailey all wore that number. And where are all those guys I just mentioned? In the Pro Football Hall of Fame, they all got gold jackets, just like I will one day eventually too, hopefully. For TCU, we know more about them than we know Denver. I preview this one tomorrow. First preview of the year. Be on the lookout.
And to stack on top of what Christian said, TCU is going to roll with help from Big Bubba on the offensive line, the 6'7", 450-pound guard who's going to beat the living shit out of Colorado.
Yeah, I don't think this is a man don't nobody care game because it's going to be a massacre.
Ryan?
What game?
TCU Colorado.
Oh, who gives a fuck?
And that means TCU. All right, Christian, you got this one too. UNC takes on South Carolina. UNC is a 2.5-point favorite. It'll be played in a neutral site.
Yeah, it'll be played in Charlotte.
Charlotte, yep. Christian, what's your keys to the game?
Well, finally, I'm getting the chance to see Drake May play. I've seen the tape. I've seen a lot of highlights, and, you know, this kid is as good as advertised. I think he's as pro-ready as they come at the collegiate level, and he'll probably hear his name next spring. The key for North Carolina is their defense. We know what their offense is going to do, but can their defense make stops when it matters most? Because we don't need them to be lights out Georgia great. They just need to get off the field, make a stop here and there, and you know, get the ball back to Drake. Then I also want to see the running game of North Carolina kind of step up a little bit more because, like I always say about the Buffalo Bills, I can say the same thing about the North Carolina Tar Heels. They depend on Drake May way too much. I think British Brooks is going to have to be the key, the running back for the Tar Heels. And watch, South Carolina is not going to load that box. So
you know, British should have a solid day on the ground. Now, for South Carolina, what Spencer Rattler shows up? Do we see the Spencer Rattler that tore apart Tennessee and Clemson last year, or do we get inconsistent Spencer? That's what it's going to come down to. I don't see much defense being played in this game. I think this is going to be a shootout back and forth. It's going to be very high scoring. I preview this one about 2 hours before the game on Saturday. Be on the lookout.
Okay. John, what do you got?
This is who again?
North Carolina, the Tar Heels versus the Gamecocks.
Give me North Carolina.
Okay. Ryan.
Duncocks going Gamecock.
And I'm back in the Suncock. I think the Gamecocks, I think Rattler fucking takes this. I think South Carolina goes in and they're the last team to get the ball. I think the last team to get the ball wins this game, and I believe South Carolina will be that. All right, and yeah, obviously if I'm taking South Carolina, they cover because they have 2.5. They win outright. All right, Christian, last game that you're previewing, LSU takes on FSU. Florida State, I believe, is a 2.5-point dog.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I believe. Yes, 2.5-point dog. LSU is 2.5-point favorite. Over-under is 56. Keys to the game.
Well, for LSU, when you play Florida State, slow down their running game. Make them a passing team. You know, they fell short last year to LSU. These two played in week one last season, and it was a thrilling game, but it was also a very sloppy game. Neither team could really take care of the football. Now, LSU, they come in, and their defensive front is a lot stronger than what it was. They're getting some key pieces back. Mason Smith is coming back. But I look at this game overall, and two of my favorite defensive players are in this one. For LSU, it's Harold Perkins. Reminds me a lot of Devin White from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Just plays sideline to sideline, always in your face, always around the football, knows how to collapse the pocket. And then for Florida State, Jared Verse. Last year, this past spring, if he decides to declare himself eligible for the draft, he's a top three pick, potentially, but he decided to come back. And Florida State, though, they're more than just ground attack. And it's going to be key for LSU. They have to contain Jordan Travis. He's a do-it-all playmaker, and he has a loaded group of wide receivers. I can't wait to see how LSU, how they're going to defend 6'7", Johnny Wilson. He's a deep threat. I preview this one Friday. Be on the lookout.
Now, Emery is going to be out for LSU in this game. Does that hurt LSU?
Who?
Emery, the running back.
It could, but, you know, the next man steps up. What's going to hurt LSU in this game, Ronnie, to me, is the secondary, because they're relying on a lot of transfers to step up right away at corner.
Yeah, okay, I can understand that. John, who you got?
LSU.
LSU? All right. Right?
LSU.
Yeah, go Tigers.
LSU.
All right, next game. The Monday Nighter. Clemson takes on Duke. Clemson is a 13-point favorite. It is in Duke's, their road favorite. So it's in Duke. And the over-under is 55.5.
I'm taking Duke in this one.
Yeah, I'm with you, John. I'm going to take Duke.
I'm going to go Clemson here. I'm anxious to see what Cade Klubnik can do for this Clemson team. This is his team now. And they're going to rally around Will Shipley, but can someone else outside of him step up? I think Duke makes this an interesting game, but I just think Clemson is the better coach team, and that's what's going to prevail them the victory.
This is the Shipley show As much as Klubnik is there, this is Shipley's team. Until someone can stop Shipley, I got to take Clemson. But I will give these guys something because they both took
Duke. Yamana!
First of the year. All right, next game. The Florida Gators roll into Utah. This, as of right now, Cameron Rising is not going to play. The quarterback for Utah is not looking like he's going to play, but Utah is a 4.5-point favorite.
Florida.
Ryan.
Florida?
Christian?
Man, this game can go either way, to be honest with you. The Urban Meyer Bowl, as I like to call
it.
Yeah,
right?
Urban Meyer's former two teams going at it. I think Utah, look, Cam Rising is what puts this team over the top, right? But I think they're going to adjust because they have the best offensive line in the Pac-12. The ground game is going to pound the rock in between the tackles. And Bryson Barnes, that's going to be the guy filling in for Cam Rising. He's experienced enough to do what he's doing. All he needs to do is not lose the football game, control things, right? If this game were in Florida, yeah, I'd probably lean Florida, but I'm going Utah. I think Utah, they avenged the loss from last year in the Swamp. That crowd's really going to be into it. And Kyle Whittingham's going to have his men ready to play. I like the Utes.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Utah because if this was in the Swamp, I would say that Utah does not lose at home. All right, next on it, UTSA takes on Houston. I believe it's UTSA that is a 2-point favorite. This game was a pick 'em for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Christian, who are you taking?
This is who again?
UTSA Houston. It's the back to back.
I'm going UTSA.
Damn right you are.
I'll follow Christian's lead on that one.
Ryan?
Yeah, I'm at Paul Christian.
Yep, beep beep. Give me the Roadrunners of UTSA. This game last year went to double overtime. It's going to be another barn burner. All right. I put this one just because it's a back-to-back. Old Dominion travels to Blacksburg to take on Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is a 16-point favorite.
Virginia Tech.
Christian?
I'm going to take Virginia Tech.
Ryan?
Same.
Give me Virginia Tech, but they do not cover. I think Old Dominion keeps this close again. OD plus the 16.5, but Virginia Tech wins. All right, Fresno State travels across country to Purdue. Purdue is a 3.5-point favorite.
Purdue.
Christian?
Taking Purdue.
Purdue.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. Give me Fresno State. Fresno State, besides being what they were last year going into, they brought pretty much almost everybody back. Purdue only has one player that returned. Purdue's going to be in trouble. I could be wrong, but I think Fresno can air it out. There's a toss-up. A sense of you don't know what you're getting with Purdue. You know what you're getting with Fresno. I think, if anything, this game turns into a field goal game, but I also think Fresno wins this game outright. Give me Fresno State. All right, next on the list, North Texas travels up to Cal. North Texas is a 7-point dog. Actually, sorry, Cal goes to North Texas. This game's in North Texas.
I'm going to take North Texas in this game.
I'm taking North Texas as well.
Yeah, North Texas, 7-point dog. Give me North Texas.
Yeehaw, motherfucker.
Okay. All right. Going to Washington as the Kings of the Blue Turf, Boise State, goes to Washington. Boise State is a 14-point dog. Give me the Huskies.
I'm going to take Boise.
Chris Peterson Bowl. I like Washington.
Hey, Ryan?
Who is it?
Boise versus Washington.
I'll take Washington.
Okay. And now the final game. This one, I only put this one on because I didn't understand why this was here. Toledo. It's going to be a 9.5-point dog against Illinois.
Illinois.
Christian?
Ain't nobody care.
Play the game.
I am playing the game. I said what I said. Ain't nobody care.
Well, if you want to go to the game, if you still are living out there, you could go to the game for $4.
I wouldn't go to that shit if it was the last thing to do.
I mean, it is Illinois. I mean, I don't know if you could. At least it's not going through Erie.
You're not wrong.
Oh, God. I think Illinois wins this game. I don't think they cover this, though. 10 points, Toledo, after what they were last year. Game. Yeah, give me Illinois. Give me the Illini, but I think they win by 7. And those are our picks. Other games that are on this Sunday, you have Oregon State versus San Jose State. Coastal Carolina takes on UCLA. That is a Pac-12 after dark game. Tulane's got South of Texas Tech's got Wyoming. Middle Tennessee get fucked. Baylor's got Texas State. I pretty much got all the games that are going to be decent. Yeah, I don't see anything else on this list. South Florida's got Western Kentucky. I like Western Kentucky. All right, here you go, Christian. Have fun with this one. UMass takes on Auburn. Auburn's going to be a 35-point favorite. Not does UMass win, but does Auburn cover?
No, I don't think Auburn covers.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then Rice in Texas, I got to pay attention to that to see how good Texas really is going to be. Ohio State's got Indiana. Indiana's a terrible team this year.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, UConn, UNC. UNC's a 4-point favorite, but it's in UConn. I don't even know if they're going to be back from school yet, back to school yet. And then you have the Battle of Miami's, Miami of Ohio versus Miami. Yeah, no, that's pretty much it. And then Iowa, Utah State. McNamara is the quarterback of Iowa now, and he's questionable. I like the 24 points in that if McNamara is not going to play. with that being said, is there anything else you want to talk about, or should we bring this home?
Let's bring it
I
home.
I got nothing.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Right? Nope. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, thank you for listening to the show. If you like what you heard, please join us on all social media accounts under the Nerdport Network. Follow us individually on Twitter or X at F and Ronnie.
At the Zombie Master.
At Daily Blitz _61. Monday. New season of Monday Evening Quarterback debuts on Spotify, the Nerdport Network, YouTube, Live Talk Radio, and Twitch. Be on the lookout for it. Got a lot of great things coming for you, coming to you.
At Stonecock STL.
And like we say before, if you like what you heard, tell your friends. If you don't like what you hear, exactly.
Fuck yourself.
There we go. Tell your enemies. But until then, always remind people two things. One, Bobby Bonilla is still getting paid. And two, if you don't believe it, it's just a fact of life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
night.